association with AndTheValleyShook.com, it is The Go Show, your original LSU podcast, coming to you on a Thursday night, September 18th, 2014. Buckle your chin straps. It's the opening conference game of the season. Mississippi State coming to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 6 p.m. kickoff ESPN to take on your LSU Fighting Tigers. Mr. Podcat, behind the scenes, pushing buttons, creator of The Go Show, managing editor of www.andthevalleyshook.com, SB Nation site. Patrick Morris is with me out of Ponchatoula. What's up, Pat?
Hey, what's happening?
Nothing, man. I am excited, ready to roll. I am Kerry Munch, your host, of course. I forgot to state that, but ways to get in touch with the show, as always, you can hit us up via Twitter and tweet at the site, at Valley Shook. You can tweet at me at Go Show Kerry, G-E-A-U-X, Show Kerry, all one word. And Mr. Morris is at Cat Godfather.
With two T's.
Two T's, K-A-T-T, Godfather. Ways to find the show. You can go to the site itself and just search The Go Show through the site search and find it that way. Or the easiest way, I say, just pull up your little podcast app on your smartphone and download us for free from iTunes. We every time Podcat puts out a new show, it gets released on there. And once you do that, you'll find all the old shows beneath that. So you can listen to what we said about Wisconsin and Sam Houston State and all that other fun stuff. But it's game week, Pat. First conference game of the year. We're gonna briefly talk about Louisiana Monroe right now. LSU won 31-0 in a game that was blah. And that's like Forrest Gump says, that's all I really have to say about that.
It was blah. I think you actually beat me back to the tailgate.
So, I mean, considering the fact we both usually leave simultaneously.
But you were walking from the upper deck, and I stayed right. 3 minutes left. Well, I stayed into the second half. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay, well, good for you. Did you sit? Did your wife and kids go?
They sure did.
Okay. Yeah. So who'd the other ticket go to? That's not important. Anyway, let's move on. Okay. ULM, it was your typical LSU vanilla type game right before they go up against a conference opponent when they're playing a weaker opponent. It was our boy last week predicted it right. He said had no doubt in his mind that ULM would cover, and he was right by half a point. So kudos to Dusty, Mr. Dusty Thibodeau, and you know, Dan Monroe. For getting that one right. He got a hair skin cover on that one. So, but it was your typical kind of, kind of game. LSU didn't really show too much. Ran a lot of eye back. Ran a lot of the running backs out of the fullback position, which I like, which we'll talk about a little bit with Mississippi State coming up here in a couple seconds. Join us. Stick with us throughout the whole show. We're going to have Mr. Charlie Burris from our SB Nation sister site, For Whom the Cowbell Tolls. He will join us a little bit later to talk about Mississippi State and do our Go Show picks with us. But right now, Patrick, enough about ULM. There isn't really much to talk about. I don't think really anybody really cares. It's Mississippi State, and it's weird that we're actually this excited. I think there's a lot of reasons. A, it's the first conference game of the year. B, it's the first big game opening in the newly expanded Tiger Stadium. And C, Mississippi State's got a team this year, Mr. Morris.
Yeah, they got a little team. Well, they got some early season hype. If you've noticed the last, few years, they haven't scheduled a really difficult game to start the season at all. I think that kind of builds the hype a little bit. If you read everything and you listen to everything that all the pundits are talking about, it's time they're supposed to put up or shut up right now. This is the game. Are they going to be real this year in the SEC, viable? Or are they just going to be the same old Mississippi State? Guess we'll find out on Saturday.
Right, and I think it's going to be a little bit in between that. I don't really think that they're going to be the same old Mississippi State. I think they're kind of primed to kind of give us a decent game. But if you really would, and I guess rightfully so, what kind of irks at me a little bit is when you hear about previews of this game, you don't really hear anything about LSU. It's all about Dak Prescott and his, he's got, over 1,000 yards total offense so far this season. He's thrown 9 touchdown passes. He's ran for 2. He's caught a touchdown pass. He is the new SEC quarterback darling. If not for Kenny Hill from A&M, he'd probably be, it'd be probably all Dak Prescott all the time so far. But he is rightfully so, and you know, kudos to Mississippi State for finally finding a quarterback to man that football team. And they've got some experience. They're coming in with a little bit of clout, a very good efficient offense so far this season, and they're ready to prove themselves. It's been a long time coming since I think it's the first time, and I heard the date a long time, maybe ever, that Mississippi State and LSU face off against each other at this point in the season, both teams still undefeated. So a pretty big deal for those ringing cowbell guys from Starkville for them to come down to Baton Rouge. They're gonna come down. They're gonna be ready. Fans will be ready. The team, they better be ready, because LSU, no slouch. We got a very good passing. We got a very good pass defense. Offense seemed to be getting a little bit better. Now, granted, this is the first big test for both teams. Well, LSU's already played Wisconsin, but as far as Mississippi State goes, as far as we're gonna really find out how good LSU secondary is in this game, because LSU didn't really get much, you know, didn't have much to go against with Wisconsin, with a new starting quarterback and a guy that just looked lost trying to throw the football. But we're going to really find out what's going on here in this game, Pat.
Oh, I believe so. You know, obviously, but Mississippi State's bread and butter, you know, is still the run. You know, we've mm-hmm. seen the run game to its greatest extent against Wisconsin. That's all they did. So, you know, are we going to force Dak to sit in the pocket and actually make some reads and make some throws and see what he's all about? You know, you can look good against, you know, the little sisters of the blind, but when you got to step up and play the big boys. And, you know, he didn't play bad last year in a game against us. He didn't play bad at all. Once we started containing him, though, i.e. the Johnny Manziel game plan, you know, that's whenever he struggled. So my question is he going to struggle again this year if we, you know, we don't allow him to get out the pocket? We contain him the whole time and force him to throw that ball from the pocket. That's going to be what I think, game plan wise, that we should look to do.
And you're going right where I want to go, because that, you know, we know about LSU secondary, and I think he's going to struggle to find open receivers because they don't really have. They don't really have highly touted receivers. It's more or less him being able to distribute the ball and get his guys the ball in open space and things like that. But when Mississippi State receivers are covered, our linebackers are going to do their job and stay within their assignments and not let him break contain and gobble up huge chunks of yards on third and longs and things like that when we have the receivers covered downfield. And we're not, you know, that's gonna be the key, generating the pass rush, and linebackers staying in their assignments, and not getting swallowed in, and not letting him scramble for huge amounts of yards. I mean, that right there to me is where it's at for LSU defensively in this ballgame.
Well, true, and with that many freshmen out there, you would hope, you know, you got three games under the belt, but that's the challenge with freshmen is, you know, that's your freshman mistakes right there. Or are you going to get sucked in, or are you going to maintain your responsibility mm-hmm. the entire time? And that is the troublesome part of having a young defense. You know, hopefully, you know, we have good enough coaching staff where they've ingrained it into their minds where this is what you're going to do, you know, do your job and everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah, and if there's one difference from what we saw in the first half against Wisconsin, where we showed, you know, we were very susceptible to that running game. One of the adjustments we made was we brought in a couple of freshman defensive linemen. One of them, Davin Gotchaw, who started last week against ULM, and who has done a fine job to this point about talking. You know, I was reading some things that I believe it was Paul who wrote on the site early about the job he's done to this point, as far as he just looks like an experienced guy out there, knowing what he needs to do, gobbling up double teams, you know, clogging that line of scrimmage and allowing other guys to come open in space. And I think that's what needs to happen on Saturday. If we're going to, you know, I don't know what Chavis's game plan is. I don't know if we're going to try to blitz, which we don't blitz too much. Can we generate a pass rush? Now, I'm looking at Jamarius Rasko. I'm looking at Daniil Hunter and those guys to be able to make some plays on the outside to flush Dak Prescott out, and hopefully he can get gobbled up by our linebackers there a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that. Same thing. I mean, I'm right with you as far as that goes. So, you know, defensively, like I said, we'll see how well coached these guys or how disciplined our defense is in this game. I have no doubt in my mind. You know, I say that. I should always have some doubt that our DBs can match up with anybody. Even our best DB against what's quote-unquote supposed to be like an Amari Cooper type of player, I have no doubt we can match up and give them a battle there. But you're right. It's can our D-line, you know, shed the blocks and get where they need to be, or are we going to have to start sucking up that deep linebacker and, you know, be susceptible to that over-the-middle pass? That's the one variable right there.
Right. And what did we talk about, Patrick, when we were going into that Wisconsin game? We were talking about the play at safety needed to improve this season for that secondary to be better, and it has. Jalen Mills has been phenomenal, and all the other guys who are rotating in from, I mean, true freshman Jamal Adams, Ricky Jefferson, Ronald Martin, who's, you know, had, you know, so-so games a little bit. But, you know, those guys over there, and then Jalen Collins' reemergence from his sophomore slump a year ago, you know, coupled in the fact with, you know, Rashard Robinson, and Tre'Davious White on the other side, it's really been that's been the key, has been the corners being able to trust those guys on an island if you're gonna send five or six guys, and then trusting that safety help over the top, which we've seen come into play a couple times. Jalen Mills with that big interception in that Wisconsin game, that's been a key point to this defense so far this season.
Exactly. So I don't think there's too much more to talk about, you know, defensively. You know, maybe shift gears right here to the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, we're gonna run the ball. There is no doubt about it. We're one of those coach teams that says, look, we're gonna run the ball. You stop us. You know, not to the point where we won't attempt to pass the ball over the top or do things, because we've proven that already. But we've also proven that we can run the ball against anybody. So you know. Can that Mississippi State defense hold up against our run is probably the key to this game, you know, especially as we get into that third and fourth quarter and our big offensive line, experienced line, like it's supposed to be, starts doing their job.
Yeah, and that's going to be, you know, the other, you know, to that side of the ball, you talk about Mississippi State featuring two very good defensive linemen, and Chris Jones and newly emerging Preston Smith. I can't think of his name. Preston Smith, I think. I'm almost positive.
It's Smith.
Yeah. LSU, you know, LSU likes to run. Les Miles likes to run at the eye. But what I like what they did against Wisconsin was they started spreading it out and started running the ball out of that pistol, which I think is, you're going to see that. You didn't see it too much against ULM. You saw it a little bit against Sam Houston, but LSU basically went eye back against ULM the whole game. And I think the game was so blah, because Les Miles kind of tends to kind of take it a little bit easy on the in-state schools when we play him. He doesn't show too much. He doesn't do a whole lot. And I think he did that. I think that was all calculated. Everything he does is, in his quirky little way, is calculated. I think you're going to see LSU come out more like they did against in the second half against Wisconsin. Run that pistol, spread the field out, go with those single back running back sets, and run on a ball and run a ball out of those situations. And then I also like to see him mix it up a little bit. I like the idea of putting that Kenny Hilliard or Darrell Williams in that fullback position with Leonard Fournette or Terrence McGee. You know, 7 yards deep. I like that situation, because you can run that. You can kind of, you know, run that dive right into the middle of the line, hand it off to the guy in the fullback position, or you can do something with that running back out of that thing too. I'm kind of liking, and we talked a little bit about that early in the year, about two back sets not always using Connor Neighbors and one of the running backs, but using two of those four running backs together on the field at the same time. It creates a whole lot of opportunity, I think, for this offense.
Oh, it does. It, you know, and you hit the nail on the head. You know, obviously, we are always, and it is history. It's shown itself time and time again, especially against in-state schools that we tend to say we like. I hate to say you like NAIA, but, you know, ULM, they're okay. They're okay in my book. You know, just when they play LSU, we can't cheer for them. But, and then also, you're getting ready for an SEC game. You know, same thing that I'm sure our friend from Mississippi State is probably going to say about their last two games. We're not going to show our full hand leading up to what is, quote unquote, supposed to be the biggest game of the year to date because it's SEC play. Even though Wisconsin was big, this is SEC play. This is matters for the conference championship. This is what you play for. So I don't think we showed our hand either much last game. And we did a couple things, but, you know, nothing that was crazy either. So I think we have some more in the playbook that's going to come out.
Do you think Brandon Harris sees some snaps?
Only if we're ahead by a comfortable margin at the end.
So you think Anthony Jennings has kind of supplanted himself?
I think he's solidified himself as the starting. He's the, and the reason you can tell is when he goes out, even though Brandon Harris has the ability, it's the leadership thing I look at when they go out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can look, Jennings has control of that huddle. It is his huddle now. And that, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you can't get your players to play with you and for you, then, you know, he does you no good. Yeah, you can overcome some of that with talent, which Brandon Harris is no doubt he has talent. Yeah. But I think right now, and especially the way this game's going to go, you need somebody that's solid, going to take control, get those linemen motivated to push that pack and go. I think down the road, yeah, you're going to see Brandon Harris get more and more. But in a game like this, he's going to get some snap. I don't think he won't get any snaps. Okay. But I think that Jennings is going to get 90-95% of the play here, unless they're way ahead.
I agree. And speaking on Jennings, we talked a little bit about, you know, Mississippi State very vulnerable against the deep ball. UAB exposed it a little bit. I think LSU is going to have some opportunities to go downfield, but you know what's going to set that up even more than running the ball effectively is that intermediate passing game, which we talk so much about. It's hitting John Diarra, hitting Trey Quinn, finding one of those tight ends, you know, even if it's just once, it's going to open up. It's going to open up Trayvon Doral deep. I also like to see him establish a different deep threat other than Trayvon Doral. Right now, I don't know if LSU has that guy, but if LSU can run a ball effectively with all their running backs and hit some intermediate passes, it doesn't matter if it's Trayvon Doral always running deep because he can beat anybody in the country in the conference 1-on-1. In my opinion, I think he's got that kind of speed, and him and Jennings kind of seem to have some kind of, they've got a connection there, which we've talked about on that deep ball. I've seen LSU throw the deep ball as good as I've ever seen him throw it this season, in many just in my remembrance of years past. So I think that is that those are definitely the keys. We're going to talk about a lot more with Mr. Charlie Burris from whom the cowbell tolls. This is going to be like a running gag. The podcast, when he introduces this show, when he writes it on the site, he's going to write a little line there about me not being able to pronounce this tongue twisting this shit over and over again. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be some good insight to hear from Charlie Burris about Mississippi State. Other than that, man, Patrick, I'm ready. I'm ready to tailgate. I'm ready to get going. I'm ready to go to the stadium. I might even show up before kickoff for this game. I would be
impressed if your picture at the quote-unquote, and this can be put on the air because it's an official name for a landmark, at the shitty picnic table is done 15 minutes before kickoff, I will be impressed.
Hey, all the F-bombs I read on other SB Nation articles, I think podcast would be okay if we use the word shit 3 or 4 times in a show. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Shit. I mean, just say it, Pat. It's so liberating. So anyway, big stretch of games for both of these teams. LSU after this game, New Mexico State, then it's SEC slate the rest of the way. Mississippi State has a tough stretch. They got us on Saturday. Then they go home. I believe they have A&M and Auburn. A&M and Auburn back to back weeks in Starkville. So. Big stretch of games coming up for both teams. We're getting to the nitty gritty. Getting to the end of September and that key month of October, which sets a tone for so much other things. Anyway, it's gonna be fun. I cannot wait. Cannot wait, Mr. Morris. I will see you bright and early Saturday morning.
Yes, you will.
Stay tuned for Mr. Charlie Burris. Me and Patrick talked to him earlier, and we're gonna do that. And also. Through our picks with Mr. Charlie. So stay tuned for that. We will see y'all back on the flip side. And we are joined now by Mr. Charlie Beers from our SB Nation sister site, For Whom the Cowbell Tolls, talking a little bit Mississippi State football with us. How you doing, Charlie?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on here.
Hey, not a problem. Anytime we can bring on guest analysts to break down their team, it's just less work than me and Patrick have to do. But anyway, let's go ahead and get it all out of the way. We know basically what this game boils down to. Everything you read, it's about the phenomenal year Dak Prescott's having up to this point. Is that how Mississippi State goes, or is there there are other guys that we need to be worried about? But Dak Prescott just seems to be, over 270 yards rushing, 800 yards passing. He's got 12, 13 total touchdowns. Just unbelievable start for him so far.
Sure, yeah. I think definitely that's a good way to put it, is as he goes, the team goes. And he is having a phenomenal year so far, but he hasn't really been tested by a real solid defense. And obviously LSU, I think I looked at it today, I think y'all are number one pass defense in the SEC and one of the top rushing defenses also. So we'll see how good he really is this week. And I think it's going to be first real challenge. And I think on top of Dak Prescott, running back Josh Robinson is also having a really big year so far. He's kind of unexpected. He's been okay in the past, but this year he's really been great to date in the first three games. And then, of course, Jamion Wilson and Darrenia Wilson are also two other guys on offense to really look out for, two wide receivers that have also been really great so far this season.
Yeah, I think your running back is, just as impressive. What he's averaging, 96 yards a game or something, just under 100 yards a game for the first three games, which is not shabby at all, considering he's the main go-to guy in your running attack.
Mm-hmm. I will say he is still not the leading rusher, even though he's good. Dak has been the leading rusher. I think Dak Prescott had 140 yards in rushing in the last game, and then Josh Robinson had 77. But he's still a prominent figure in the offense.
Now, let me ask you, being that we haven't had, Carrie and I haven't had time to break down game film on Mississippi State early in the season, obviously. We've been tailgating a little bit. But as far as a pocket passer goes this year for Dak, has he improved on that? I remember, obviously, Carrie, we went to the game last year in Starkville.
We were there.
In that capacity, have you seen him improve his pocket presence, his awareness, his checkdowns? I felt last year when we kind of watched it, because I did watch a replay of that game, that was kind of one of the things he was lacking. He would look for his first receiver, and all of a sudden he would look to take off.
I think he's definitely improved in his passing ability, and I think specifically sort of that decision-making and field vision and knowing the right decisions to make. I think that what really speaks to that is the fact that he only has two interceptions up to this point in the season. He's just been really smart in the decisions that he's made. I don't know noticeably that I've seen he's maybe a better passer. There hasn't, as we were talking about earlier, it's been really run heavy to this point, the offense that State's run. But I think he's definitely improved in decision making, specifically when it comes to passing the ball.
Right, yeah, you definitely, the Dan Mullen offense we're very familiar with, because we've seen it. LSU plays Florida every year, so we saw it when he was with Urban Meyer, and we see it here. And just looking at your run to pass ratio, not quite 2-1, almost there, probably 1.75-1, but still, you spread them out. And a misconception a lot about teams that run spread type offenses, it's really a run oriented type offense that kind of lends itself to throwing the ball out of that. And you see a lot of the same fakes and things like that he ran with Tebow over at Florida. You see Dak Prescott doing a lot of those same things, especially taking the ball from shotgun and just running wham right into the center of the line. And everybody knows it's coming, but he's a big dude, 6'3", 235 pounds. It's the defensive job to tackle him. And from LSU standpoint, neither one has really been tested to this point. Mississippi State, Dak Prescott, and LSU's defense. LSU's defense showed themselves as being susceptible to the run, which kind of concerns me a little bit about this game against Wisconsin. You know, with Wisconsin having their way in the first half with us. But at the same time, LSU since then, and we talk about LSU's pass defense, and, you know, they gave up 50 yards to Wisconsin, I think, passing that first game, and only allowed 90-something odd total yards this past weekend against ULM. But really on both fronts, this is really the first real test. I mean, it's buckle your chin strap time. It's time, and I'm excited because, you know, it's rare, and no disrespect to Mississippi State, but it's rare that Mississippi State comes to Baton Rouge, and they're actually, you know, prognosticators are talking about them with a legitimate chance to beat LSU this season.
Absolutely. It is as surprising to everybody from Mississippi State as it is to the guys at LSU, I'm sure, because it has been a long road coming to have, I guess, real respect. That's what I've noticed the biggest difference this season. There's been real respect, especially from media outlets, to this Mississippi State team, and it's really been surprising because just from year to year, they kind of get discounted, and especially just in the state of Mississippi, definitely play second. We definitely play second fiddle to Ole Miss. So it is, like I said, it's surprising to us as it probably is to y'all.
Right. I mean, you're going into what? This is Dan Mullins. He's been there since, what, 2010, 2011?
I think he came in December of 2009, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, I think Tebow's last year at Florida was his last year with Florida as well,
yes.
If I'm not mistaken. Minor state, one more year. Ran the program into the ground and handed it over to Will Muschamp.
That's right.
I mean, he's exactly right. He was talked back into coaching. I don't want to get in an Urban Meyer rant. But anyway, getting back to Dan Mullen, you know, ever since he's been at Mississippi State, it's been kind of almost but no cigar. Y'all haven't cracked 500 in conference play yet. 4-4 is the best y'all have done. Is his seat warm, or is there still with – the win over Ole Miss last year, I gotta think, kind of cooled it off a little bit?
I think it was at the hottest it's ever been with three games remaining last season. And then, yeah, I think in those last three games, he regained some favor, and especially with that win in the Egg Bowl against Ole Miss. So now, just looking at this team and the potential that they have, and with Dak Prescott, if everybody stays healthy and in this season – they end up, it just, you know, what I would consider a complete disappointment this season being 6-6, really. If it goes that way, I would say the C would definitely be heating up. I don't know that he would necessarily be fired 6-6, you know, go to a bowl game, but there would definitely be talk if we had a losing season. I don't see that happening because the latter part of the season, there's these three games that we have coming up, LSU, Texas A&M, and Auburn, all three in a row. And then after that, it's easier. But I think people are expecting bigger things this year, for sure. I don't think if those don't come, he'll be fired. But, of course, I'm not the athletic director, so. My feeling.
Yeah, and those big things, I mean, they stem. I mean, they stem definitely. I mean, you have an experienced quarterback who's very good, a defense that's getting better. Talk a little bit about Preston Smith. You know, a lot of the talk coming into this year was the other defensive lineman, and forgive me, I forgot his name at this point, but Preston Smith, I think he's the first 3 weeks of the season, he's been defensive lineman in a week in the SEC every week so far.
Yes, and it's really been out of nowhere because Chris Jones is probably the other guy
you're thinking of.
And he has been good, but Preston Smith really has come out of nowhere. I think he's had a blocked punt, a blocked field goal, forced fumble, a pick six, another interception on top of that, and he's a defensive lineman. He's been defensive lineman of the week, I think, all 3 weeks so far, and it's it just kind of adds. We thought the defensive line was going to be really good coming in just with Chris Jones and then Bernardrick McKinney. I guess he's a linebacker, but both of them are just a real force, especially stopping the run. But then Preston Smith has just been this really nice surprise kind of out of nowhere. So.
Yeah, well, I would think that the first couple games he kind of went under the radar a little bit because you know, he had the bookend over there. But, you know, now that people are aware of him, you know, what is his, I guess you'd say, what's his best attribute? I mean, is it speed? He's a bull rusher. What does he do that's kind of causing havoc with the offensive lines or just as a playmaker? What's his main, talent?
What I've noticed specifically, and it was really play in a game 2 weeks ago when he got a pick six, it's just his awareness and being able to maybe identify the play, but just really be aware of what's going on around him, because he made that play, and just for a defensive lineman, it was he was in the backfield there and was just had the presence of mind to make that play. And that's impressive for a defensive lineman. I think that's probably one of the biggest things, because I don't think noticeably he has, you know, extreme speed, extreme strength or something like that, where you might notice with a guy like Chris Jones. Mm-hmm. But I think that's one of the main reasons he's been such a surprise, because he hasn't really showed those crazy attributes that you would think of in like a star defensive lineman. But it's just been a nice balance kind of everything that you would want.
Now, as far as, you know, we know that the line, he's been named SEC, you know, lineman of the week and everything else. But how about your secondary? I mean, we're going to obviously on LSU's side, we're going to have the deep ball threat. We have, you know, we've kind of established that. We know, you know, we're going to try and go deep at least once or twice a game, kind of starting to establish that 10 to 15 yard route. How size wise, how are your DBs going to match up, you know, against the, I mean, LSU's receivers are young, but how do you think they're going to match up against us?
Well, just judging from the first 3 weeks, they had a really solid week in the first game, and then the last two games, the secondary has been mediocre at best. So I honestly am not sure. I will say, other than the Wisconsin game, I haven't really seen LSU's wide receivers to really compare that well. But just it's been concerning for sure. Just secondary has gotten burned, specifically against UAB. UAB threw for, I think, 350 yards, just really big lob passes they were making against the secondary, and secondary is just getting either beat or, you know, some of them were just really good plays, but that's definitely an area of concern going up against a team like LSU, where specifically the deep ball has been a problem so far this season. So I'm not sure. It could be easy to throw against the secondary from what I've seen, but I will say we had just kind of had discussion with some of the guys on the site that maybe, and we are just hoping that this is true, it might be Jeff Collins, because like UAB was running some exotic sets and the defense didn't adjust at all, and so we said maybe Jeff Collins is kind of hiding his hand, what he's really got with this defense, so that, you know, LSU and everybody coming up doesn't have as much to work with on tape, but that might just be speculation on our part. But
it's always good to have speculation. Carrie and I do it all the time. We make up rumors if they're not there.
You got to find a silver lining.
Exactly.
Whatever gets you from week to week. So that being said, how does and we're talking to Charlie Barris from whom the cowbell tolls, an SB Nation site. That being said, staying on defense real quickly before we move on over to the other side of the ball again, what does this defense do to neutralize LSU's four-headed monster at running back? Because we're going to do that. We're gonna utilize all four running backs, and then we're going to, like Patrick said, we're going to, especially if we watch UAB game film, we're gonna probably try to spread you out and try to attack downfield, knowing how stout that defensive line is and knowing that they're going to come out like every team has been doing since 2009 against us and put 8-9 guys in the box.
Well, that's a good question. How they're going to be able to stop that? I think it will be just that, putting a lot of guys on the line, try to stop that run game. And then it's hard to speak to how our secondary will handle that, you know, having to put emphasis on the run and then just that threat of the long ball I don't know exactly how it's going to go, but I think State has guys that are big enough to fast enough to effectively stop the run. But I think the main thing will be doing it for all four quarters. Just they could get run ragged, and I guess that. Well, I don't know. In the Wisconsin game, I think Wisconsin had some guys that went out injured late in that game, and maybe that's why it was so much easier for y'all to score in the fourth quarter. But I might be wrong about that. But that I think that's just a prime example of a defense getting tired and then LSU taking advantage of it. So it's gotta fight that fatigue in the fourth quarter and being able to play late in the game, and that's going to be really important.
Yeah, and obviously the atmosphere at LSU, I can tell you from our point of view, it is going to be rocking on Saturday. I mean, this is the first big game that we've had in the newly renovated stadium, so we're going to pack it. I got a feeling I'm going to put 101, 102,000 in there easily this time. People have been waiting for this after the cupcakes that we've been playing, so to speak, other than that Wisconsin game. So, yeah, I would say they got to kind of withstand the onslaught to start with, I would think.
Sure.
I might even stay past halftime for this game.
I'd be impressed.
I might just shock everybody. Just stick around to the fourth quarter, you know. Who knows? Going back to the offensive side of the ball, we talked Dak Prescott. We talked about your running back Robinson. But what are some of the other keys offensively that you think Mississippi State needs to do to come out with a victory on Saturday night?
Got to have success in that running game, like you said, but finding a way to pass against this defense, because as I said earlier, as of right now, y'all are the number one passing defense in the SEC, and State has some really good receivers. Duronny Wilson, he's 6'5", huge guy. He's kind of become the primary receiver really quick, and being able to get them the ball and then they can make plays in space is going to be so key in terms of adding something on the offensive side of the ball past the run game. And then also Jamion Lewis, they run a lot of end arounds with him, and he can be really effective in that setting, and just making those plays work and getting chunks of yardage through the air despite LSU secondary maybe being one of the best in the country is going to be really important.
Right, Mr. Morris, anything?
Now, I think this is going to be your typical SEC football game. Once we get past all the theatrics to start the game, it's going to come down to, you know, just like the big boys play in the SEC, which offensive line and which defensive line. We say it every week. I know it becomes cliche, everything like that, but who's going to hold out the longest and who's going to wear who down? And, you know, when you break that big play or one or two big turnovers, you know, that's going to make the difference. And then, but the problem is, if one of those turnovers or those big plays occurs early, it can quickly snowball. You know, and that's, you know, I'm saying from the Mississippi State point of view, and obviously I'm not speaking for them, but, you know, you got the fans already into the game to start the game. You get a big play to start, it's just going to, you know, ramp up that crowd even more. So I would think, you know, from the Mississippi State point of view, they need to try and avoid that at all possible costs. You know, don't give up that big play or that big interception or anything early in a game, and you kind of maintain, get to that second half, and see who wins in the trenches in the end.
Yeah, and like I was saying earlier, I think if they can keep it close or even have the lead going into the fourth quarter, like that's going to be so key. Just not letting it get away early is going to be so important, because you're not going to get it back in front of 102,000 people. You know, once the momentum goes LSU's way, it's going to stay there. So you just got to stay in it until late in the game and give yourself a chance to win. I think that's exactly right.
Right on. Again, it's Charlie Barris from Whom the Cowbell Tolls. Charlie, you going to stick around and do some picks with us, and then we'll pick LSU Mississippi State at the end?
Sure.
All right, this is the Go Show Pick'em Challenge, ladies and gentlemen. You hit every week. You can compete for weekly and year-end prizes. So don't worry if you are new to the show and you're listening for the first time. Go to AnnaValleyShook.com and search Go Show Pick'em Challenge, You can play weekly, compete for prizes. You might not make it for that year-end prize, but still some good weekly gifts to give away. Nothing spectacular. I mean, you gotta remember, we don't get paid to do this stuff. Well, I don't. Patrick does, but you know.
Yeah, well, you know.
I'm not as high up on the chain as Pat is, or podcast for that matter. But anyway, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna go through some of these games. We're not gonna pick them all. If you want to play, go to Anna Valley Show. There's about 12 games this week, I think, to pick. We're picking against the spread, and it's just a one loss record towards the end. No pushes. Everything's a half point spread, or you know, three. There's no full numbers here. So let's kick it off. We are going to go first game Thursday night. We're kicking off the weekend well. It's a big weekend of football, and a non-conference game. Auburn traveling to Manhattan, Kansas, to take on the Kansas State Wildcats. And I lost the spread. Kansas State is getting 9.5. Charlie, I'll let you pick this one first.
I'd say Auburn. It definitely covers. That offense is just too good. They'll score. Win that game.
All right, Pat?
I think it'll be close to the fourth quarter just based on atmosphere. But, yeah, in the end, it's just another typical SEC thing where they wear them down and pull ahead, pull up over the spread in the end. Auburn.
Okay. I'm going to differ. I'm going to go – there was a stat I saw the other night about midweek games and between ranked opponents and the opponent not being able to cover on these midweek games. I like Kansas State in this spot. A chance for them to kind of prove themselves. An interesting test for Auburn, kind of see what they've got. But ever since Bill Snyder came back to Kansas State, they just continue to play good football and kind of fly under the radar. Never a top five team, but always kind of there. And this game on a Thursday night, it might catch Auburn kind of napping a little bit, but I like Kansas State to cover that 9.5. next game, we're going to Florida, going to Tuscaloosa. Florida getting 15.5. Patrick, I'll let you pick first on this one.
You know, this is going to sound stupid, but Alabama is really early in the season, been downplayed, and oh, they just don't have it yet and everything else, but they haven't played anybody either. They did play West Virginia, whatever it was, but I think at home, first big game, first big test, put Florida back in their place. Alabama covers it.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. Florida had to scratch and claw to beat Kentucky, and maybe Kentucky's a little bit on the rise, but you shouldn't have to scratch and claw to beat Kentucky in your own stadium, and have to go to three overtimes and a controversial, you know, non-delay a game penalty on the second overtime to get that win and get that tie and touchdown. I think Alabama wins this one by 3 touchdowns. Charlie?
Yeah, I agree completely. I think just watching the Kentucky-Florida game, they just don't have any kind of an offense that could handle Alabama. Alabama big in this one.
All right, let's go over to the Big 12. We're going to go Oklahoma, traveling to West Virginia, a place podcast's been and brought back some good moonshine. So, Oklahoma giving 10.5 to West Virginia. It's another one of those games. tough to play over there in Morgantown. Oklahoma, you know, drubbed Tennessee pretty good. A better defense than what they had, you know, in the last couple seasons. I'd say normally Dana Holgorsen's offense can put some points up against Oklahoma, but I don't know about this year with the way that Oklahoma's defense has been playing as of late. 10.5, West Virginia at home. I don't know. I think West Virginia might keep it close, but I think Oklahoma wins this going away a little bit. Might a late cover in the end, so I like Oklahoma in the 10.5. Charlie.
I watched a good part of that Tennessee game, and yeah, Oklahoma's defense is way better than I probably thought they were going to be, and I got to be honest, haven't watched West Virginia at all yet, but just judging off of what I saw against Tennessee, I think Oklahoma could match that 10.5, make cover. And yeah, I think they pull away late and win that game.
And Pat?
I'll have to say Oklahoma here as well. I think at the end of the game, you'll see Dana Holgerson's hair just flying all over the place, what he's got left. So, okay, I mean, I do like to see that. I saw West Virginia play, you know, in that first game a little bit, and they got worn down. A good defense will eventually, especially with the speed of Oklahoma, they'll keep up with that little offense. They don't have the playmakers they used to have at West Virginia. So Oklahoma to cover.
All right, here we go over to the ACC. I said to myself, and I said earlier on Facebook, I wasn't going to try to mention his name, and I'm not. But there's a certain suspended quarterback in this Clemson-Florida State game who won't be playing in the first half. Nonetheless, Clemson going to Florida State, getting 19.5.
Florida State still handles their business. People have been talking, oh, they're not as good as last year. Wait till you see their running back run wild on Clemson. Yeah, Florida State's going to cover this easily.
Charlie?
It's hard to say. Florida State is, just from initially looking at, they are not as good as last year, but in the same, Clemson is not anywhere near as good as they were last year. So, yeah, I think Florida State wins this one. I think they can cover that 19.5.
This is so reminiscent of the Auburn-Arkansas game to open the season when Nick Marshall was out for that half. And Arkansas kind of hung with Auburn. And matter of fact, I think they were tied by halftime or maybe only down by 7, Arkansas was. And Auburn just blew the doors off them in the second half. If this game's close, say 7-3, 10 points or whatever at halftime, Jameis Winston will come in and Florida State will win by 24. If Florida State jumps out big and they're up by 3 touchdowns in the first half, you might see him sit the whole game. So, but either way, yeah, they're gonna cover this spread. So give me Florida State. All right, here we go. The reason why we brought Charlie Beerus on with us tonight was to talk about Mississippi State and LSU. We're going to pick it. Mississippi State traveling to Baton Rouge, take on the Tigers. It is a ESPN kickoff at 7 Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. The spread, I just lost the game. I just had it. Where'd it go?
10.5.
10.5, that's right. Charlie. You can predict against the spread, and you can give us a score prediction if you're into that kind of thing, or just sure. Or just pick the game against the spread.
It's tough, and I want to go with Mississippi State and be a homer, but Baton Rouge night game. I'll be realistic. I don't think that LSU wins by 10.5, but I do think LSU grinds it out and wins it late. I think it's close into the fourth quarter. But as much as I hate to say that, I think LSU is going to win a 15th straight, unfortunately.
All right, Patrick.
I think LSU makes a statement in this game. First real SEC test, at home, everything kicking in. We're starting to click a little bit, starting to find that little bit of gel factor on offense. Defensive line seems to be getting stronger every game. We know what our secondary is about. Man, I think something happens. Like I said, I was talking about earlier. I think something happens early. I'm taking LSU 31-10.
Okay. Man, it's harsh. You always mean to the guest, Pat. Always mean, always just downplaying them and everything. I like to give a little bit more respect and be a little bit more PC. No, I'm looking at this game realistically. And the last time I watched LSU play a good running team in Wisconsin, we got blown off the line of scrimmage. And yeah, we made adjustments and we did some things here and there, but I'm not worried. I'm a little worried. I think Mississippi State can come in here and I think they can cover. I think LSU can win this game. I think LSU wins this game 7 or 8 points. I'll say 34-26 LSU. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's a blowout. I hope I don't have to sweat this one out or chew my fingernails or anything like that. I hope I can just kind of rest easy and enjoy the game. But this has all the makings of the way this young team is against an experienced offense like Mississippi State. You know, LSU is susceptible here. I don't think they're ripe for the picking to get beat, but I think this game is close, and I like Mississippi State to cover. So that will do it. I'd like to thank our guest, Mr. Charlie Burris from For Whom the Cowbell Tolls. Charlie, can Go Show fans find you on Twitter or the site on Twitter anywhere?
Yeah, it's M State Sports is For Whom the Cowbell Tolls at M State Sports on Twitter. And I am at Charlie_Burris, and it's Burris. That's us. And thank you guys for having me on here. This is great.
No problem. No problem at all. Anytime. Okay, that was Mr. Charlie Burris for whom the cow. That's a tongue twister for me. I can't spit that out. From For Whom the Cowbell Tolls, SB Nation's site, joined us live tonight via Skype to talk about Mississippi State and LSU. We are done. For Mr. Patrick Morris behind the scenes, I am your host, Kerry Muntz. I'm sorry, for podcast behind the scenes, for Patrick Morris, my co-host, I am Kerry Muntz. This has been the Go Show, your original LSU podcast. We will see y'all next week. Go Tigers!